sack? Is that all you get for your money? And if that's what you have in mind, yeah, if that's what you're all about, good luck moving up, 'cause I'm moving out.
Good morning and welcome to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. You're listening to Becky Ivins, broker of Movers Real Estate Company and the leader of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team. To contact me, just go to my website, BeckyIvins.com. And if you want to call me, if you want to call today, by the way, during the show, and I encourage you to do that, it's 840-1000. 840-1000. We are here with our special guest, which typically this time of year is an out-of-state guest because it is a headliner at the Home and Garden Show. But today we have our very own home and garden expert. And I found out last week from talking to Dee that she... I was killing the things that were going to make my garden beautiful. So we have Dee Nash, who is born and raised in Oklahoma, where we make gardens. We don't just plant them. And she's into vegetable gardening and kitchen gardening, actually, right?
Right. I love kitchen gardening.
Okay. Tell us about yourself.
So, like you said, I was born and raised here, and I have a journalism degree with an emphasis in botany, and I decided to start writing about things I loved, which was gardening, and that was about 20 years ago. And now I have a podcast. I do a lot of different things, a blog, a podcast. I wrote a book, The 2030-Something Garden Guide. So I'm a busy girl.
Yeah, excellent. And you're going to be on stage a lot.
Yes, I was on stage twice yesterday, and today I'm on at noon talking about tropical houseplants anybody can grow. And then at 3 p.m. we're going to talk about pollinators, bees, butterflies, and moths.
Moths. Somehow I was always taught to kind of avoid moths.
Oh, but there's some daytime moths that are quite beautiful. The white-lined sphinx moth, gorgeous, gorgeous creature. Looks like a hummingbird.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Well, so, when they fly by, sometimes a little bat does too, though.
Yes, that's true. That bat would love to have that moth.
Oh, I bet. So maybe you do have those cohabitating at least for a short while, right?
Definitely.
In the building, I'm trying to find on my sheet where the building – it's at the fairgrounds.
Yes, it's at the fairgrounds, and it's in the Centennial Building and the other
– Bennett.
Bennett building.
Oh, so you're in two buildings.
I'm in the Centennial Building, okay. But the show is in two buildings. Because
okay.
We have over 350 exhibitors.
Do you know, I love this show.
I
every
do, too.
Every year, Deb, that schedules shows for me, schedules guests, goes and talks to every single vendor.
Wow.
And if they're well-spoken, and they're a local vendor particularly, we determine who we're going to have on as guest.
Right.
Based on the Oklahoma City Home and Garden Show.
I can see why, because there's some great stuff out there.
Right. Right. So you do butterfly gardening.
I do. I have a kitchen garden, which is right outside my kitchen. It's my potager. And so I grow vegetables there. And I have a cutting garden that's down the hill. I have my back garden, which is a pollinator garden. And then I have something really exciting this year because I'm also a beekeeper. We planted an entire upper pasture just full of wildflower seeds. And it's all starting to come up. So it's very exciting.
So that's going to be going to...
It's going to flower this spring and summer.
Okay, so your bees ought to be very happy then.
Yes, because I felt like my bees, my honeybees, didn't have enough forage, so I planted something for them. Because butterflies have long tongues, and honeybees have short ones.
So you have to plant special flowers for honeybees?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, for short-tongued bees.
You know, I lived on a street, it's been about 20 years ago, but we lived there for over 20 years, and... a guy at the end of the street, end of the block from where I lived, and he's still there, but he has honeybees.
Fun.
And so when they say buy local honey, we bought our honey
from
Bob.
That's very smart. That really helps you with your allergens if you buy it locally.
Right.
Because they deal with the pollen that is locally in your neighborhood, right?
Right.
Yeah.
That we're exposed to all the time.
Exactly.
So that's kind of a cool deal. It makes it sound like you've got a lot of land.
I do. I have 7.5 acres, but I only garden an acre and a half of it. I don't want people to think I'm gardening 7.5 acres. Some of our acreage is wooded. So, and I live east of I-35, which is a good place to live in Oklahoma because you're right in the tree line. You're in the beginning of the deciduous forest. I have sandier soil, but I do still have pockets of clay.
Okay. Yeah, so our soil is different in Oklahoma City. And the farther east you go, I think the sandier it might get. Is that right?
That's probably true because those hills are sandstone, especially in the central area. So, yeah, you're going to get a lot of sand, but you're going to still have those pockets of clay. But on the west side of Oklahoma City, it's almost all clay.
Well, what can you tell us if we're on the west side of Oklahoma City and we want to grow things?
If you want to grow things on the west side and you want to do it quickly, then I say build raised beds or berm up some soil in your gardens, like people do in their front yards and have flower gardens.
Right.
Because you need that drainage. But if you've got time, 2 or 3 years, you can keep adding compost on top of your soil, and then eventually the worms will pull it down. And it'll become good soil. Because I do have one section that is just full of clay, and I did that. But I had 3 years to do it. So if you want to do it fast, build raised beds. Easy. Easy peasy.
So the compost, now, if you don't do your own compost, and can you buy it?
Yes, you can. There's a lot of different brands out there. I personally like Back to Nature. They don't give me anything for saying that. I just like that brand because it's cottonseed hulls, and they've been composted with manure. And I think they're just really good. So I use it everywhere.
So if I were to use that for a fertilizer instead of the guy that comes and sprays stuff, I might be in better shape.
Yeah, that would be good.
I've been talking about getting something, doing something other than the guy that comes and sprays stuff.
And, of course, your mulch, if you use small mulch, you know, then it eventually decomposes back into the soil. And also shredded leaves. Our oak leaves are great if you shred them first and put them back on the garden.
Oh, okay. But you've got to shred them first.
Yeah, you do.
So, and you can't, like, set your grandkid out there and let them start tearing leaves.
Well, they could, but it'd take a while, wouldn't it?
Well, that would be the point, right?
Yeah. Well, there you go.
So, we are talking to Dee Nash, who is going to speak about tropical plants.
Right.
At noon in the Centennial Building at the Oklahoma City Home and Garden Show. And I will tell you, I have some free tickets. So if you want a free ticket and you want to, or I'll give you 2 free tickets. How's that? Just give us a call here at 840-1000. And we're going to return right after this break and give away at least a couple of you some free tickets right here on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. You are listening to Becky Ivins, and I have in studio Dee Nash, who is the headline speaker at the Home and Garden Show this weekend at the fairgrounds. So drink that last cup of coffee, get your jammies off, and get out there to the Home and Garden Show. It opens, I believe, at 9 o'clock.
That's right.
Today, 9 o'clock. And then tomorrow, I think it's about 1 to 6, something like that. It's noon to 5.
10 to 6 tomorrow.
Oh, 10 to 6 tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, a little bit longer than typical, I think. Maybe I just didn't. I was in church.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't matter what happens at 10 o'clock on Sunday. But 10 to 6 tomorrow, and you're going to hear Dee Nash, who is our own local butterfly gardener and vegetable gardener and flower gardener, in the Centennial Building at noon today and talking about tropical plants.
Mm-hmm, noon and three.
I need to hear that.
Yeah,
the big thing now is the fiddle leaf fig.
That's one of the hardest to grow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We went to Vietnam in the fall.
Yeah.
And to Korea. And I will tell you, they grow like weeds over there.
Yeah, amazing.
You try to buy a good-sized fiddle leaf fig, and it's $500.
Yeah, they're very expensive here.
My designer wanted me to buy a $500 fiddle leaf fig, and I'm going, I will have a hard time keeping an artificial one alive. So,
well, that's a hard plant. I mean, fiddle leaf figs are hard. They're the stars of Instagram, but they're hard to do. It'd be better to get a Monstera. They're easy.
Oh, and there cheaper. You, and does it look about the same?
It doesn't look the same. It's not a tree. It's more, you know, of a
shrubby thing.
Yeah, kind of. And but it sends up great big leaves, and they're very, very pretty. So you still get that statuesque look once they get a little bigger. A lot cheaper plant, a lot easier to grow.
And what's that called?
A monstera. It's called a Swiss cheese plant.
Swiss cheese plant.
Because there's holes in the leaves.
I was going to say, the leaves must have holes.
Yeah.
So, okay. Yeah. Very good. Doug, I'm not going to keep you hanging on any longer. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing great. Do you want to go to the Home and Garden Show?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, that's perfect. I've got a couple of tickets for you. Do you have a question for Dee or for me?
Well, yes. Remember when we bought this place 5 years ago, we had all the bamboo in the back.
Ah, bamboo. Oh, no. I know which Doug okay. this is now. Now that you say bamboo in the back. Yes.
Yes.
If you don't take care of bamboo, it's going to spread.
It's very, very aggressive.
Invasive.
Invasive, really.
I planted some asparagus way away from the bamboo, but now I'm starting to see bamboo shoots coming up in the asparagus bed.
Yes, of course you are. Okay, so I'm not an expert in removing bamboo. It's complicated. But, you know, asparagus is somewhat salt resistant, and so I would pour some salt water in where the bamboo is, right next to the asparagus, and give that a try just to see if it slows it down, and then you're going to have to dig out the bamboo.
And you have to dig down a long, long way.
Yeah. About 12 to 24 inches, because it is really, really deep.
Yes.
And you have running bamboo, which is completely different from clumping bamboo. Clumping bamboo doesn't do this, but of course running bamboo does.
Wow.
I'm sorry.
It's beautiful as a backdrop, but man, when it starts spreading, it's terrible.
Yeah,
I would also put a metal edging down, and I would between your asparagus bed and your bamboo. Once you dig that out, as long as that's out, I put a good 24-inch metal edging if you can find it, or some type of metal, and you can actually, if you go down 24 inches, that might stop it.
You know, a friend of mine over in Quail Creek had to dig down 6 feet.
Wow.
That to put metal edging because her neighbor behind her had bamboo. And they just had, you know, maybe an 8-foot raised bed.
Right.
And deep, but all the way across the house. But they were getting bamboo in it. And they dug down and put like a 24-inch. Didn't work. They had to dig down and they dug until they quit finding the roots.
Right.
And it was 6 feet down they went to put that metal edging.
Boy, that was a very established clump of bamboo. There, it's interesting because bamboo is a huge problem. There used to be a nursery a long time ago, 35 years ago, and they sold running bamboo. And I won't say who it was. They're long out of business. But because of that nursery, which was right off of I-35 where the new Mercy Complex is, you'll see bamboo running up and down I-35. It's kind of green right now, and you can tell it's bamboo, and it's because of that nursery. It crossed from one side of the highway over to the other side. So bamboo's really serious stuff.
Wow. And again, can be pretty. Can
it's gorgeous.
And the clump bamboo doesn't spread
Clumping bamboo doesn't spread. It doesn't spread at all. I have some, and it's been the same size for years and years. But that's a different type, and it doesn't look the same as the running bamboo.
Oh.
We actually have I don't know if we still do, but we have a nursery up north of Guthrie that sold bamboo for a while.
Clumping bamboo.
Yeah, clumping.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, Doug,
recommend maybe moving the asparagus?
Well, if you do move it, you're going to have to make sure that all of the asparagus doesn't have bamboo shoots within the asparagus. But yes, you could move it, but you're going to have to pull out each asparagus plant and take the bamboo out of it to make sure. But yes, you could do that. And then I still would put down that barrier just so it doesn't eat your entire lawn. Because it'll just keep moving.
Oh, yeah.
Are you serious?
You're going to be surrounded. All those beautiful, great big windows you have, Doug, are going to be covered up with bamboo if you don't do something.
You look like you're in Vietnam.
Oh, my goodness.
It makes me wonder about the septic system.
You probably have bamboo in your septic system, yeah. I mean, but the worst case scenario is eventually you might have to lay some new lines. I live way out in the country, too, and we have two septic systems. And part of that's because we've lived there so long, we put in a second one to handle things.
And you didn't disconnect the first one?
No, because I have a very long house. So one is one the bathrooms end. Are down there, and then the other so the bathrooms are in the south end. So
okay.
North end septic, south end septic.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Septic would be an issue with bamboo.
Thanks very much.
Okay. I'm sorry I couldn't be more help. Bamboo's a hard one.
Doug, do you need a couple of tickets?
Please.
Okay. Hang on. And Mike's going to get your information. And you'll need to touch base with Deb. So we'll get you her number to pick up the tickets since they're for today.
Yeah.
Well, today and tomorrow, actually. The Home and Garden Show is open from 10 to 6 tomorrow. And today it's open
from 10 to 9.
10 to 9 o'clock tonight. And Dee Nash, who is the butterfly gardener, she's got a great blog. I've not heard your podcast, but your blog is awesome.
Thank you.
And so you're going to be on at noon today?
I'm on at noon and at 3.
And talking about tropical plants at
noon. Tropical plants at noon and at 3 about how to attract pollinators.
There you go. Garden. We're going to have a lot more with Dee when we come back. We're going to talk about simple things you can do to make your home look better and have great curb appeal when we return. Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. I just heard Brad Russell's commercial. I want to tell you something. I had the same insurance agent forever, like 40 years, and he retired.
Oh.
And Brad Russell bought his agency, right?
Right.
And I was like going, this guy just, I need someone who knows more. Turns out he does.
Oh, that's awesome.
So if you're looking for a good insurance agent, I do love Brad Russell with State Farm, so you guys give him a call. It is time for...
Come on, baby, tell me what's the word, a word of... Everybody say, when you hear the call, you've got to get it underway.
It is time for our word of the day, brought to you by Robbins Roofing, where their word every day is trust. You can trust Robbins Roofing to replace your commercial building roof, do all the peripheral things that need to be done while you're replacing the roof, or a very small residential repair. They will be fair with you, that you can trust them to treat you right and to have the knowledge that is needed to do an entire insurance claim. So call my friend, Larry Robbins, at 728-3700. 728-3700. Our word today is a very simple word, Dee. I asked you for a word, and you said the word is color.
Color, a simple word.
A simple word, and it really is a property possessed by an object, and it's controlled by the different sensations of the eye as a result of light.
Isn't that interesting? A simple word, but a very difficult concept, right?
It is a difficult concept. And the color is something that we always look for in curb appeal.
I would think so, yes. Because
you're from Oklahoma. So tell us what we can do to make our homes have better curb appeal.
Well, I'm looking out the window right now, and as you know, Oklahoma in the wintertime is basically brown and green. We don't get a lot of snow, so we don't have those snow-covered winterscapes. But there's a lot you can do for color in your yard. If you have a yard that has some sun, you can plant some ornamental grasses like purple fountain grass. I especially love Fireworks, that cultivar, because it has a beautiful pink stripe down the middle. And now we have coleus. And coleus, you don't always just have to do color through flowers, because sometimes in the summer, flowers don't bloom here.
So it's too hot?
Too hot.
Too much of a drought?
Right. So coleus can be grown in sun or shade, and there are so many colors to choose from now. And if you put a beautiful coleus in front of a grass, you've got two contrasting textures. It's a neat thing.
Right. Do you know one of the prettiest properties I've ever sold when it comes to the grounds was 2 acres, so there was a lot of the grounds.
A lot of land.
It did not have one flower.
Interesting. So what did they grow?
It was beautiful. They had some mounding shrubs in different colors. Some of them were kind of a bluish color.
Mm-hmm.
Some
probably were Deodore cedars. Deodore cedars, they have one called Phelan Blue, and mm-hmm. it's beautiful.
And some were, what's that little purple plant? Anyway, they had purple shrubs.
Nice.
Light green, dark green. They had variegated things. But all around, it was just mounds of different types of color. And they put boulders because
right,
they had 2 acres.
Are beautiful. They're beautiful. I have boulders in my front yard, too. I was also going to say, you know, Nandinas are such a ubiquitous plant in Oklahoma. But there's some really good ones that have come out recently. One's called Obsession, and it's made by Southern Living Plants, and I know several places here sell it. And it has purple leaves. All of the new growth is purple, and it doesn't produce berries, which is good because you don't really want the berries. And so it would be something different. They have another one called Obsession, which is a smaller version that is more of a mounding plant and has pink. So there, you can do a lot even with Nandinas now, and Nandinas are everywhere.
What is that little pink small grass called? Was it Firework or something?
Fireworks. Purple fountain grass, yeah.
That's beautiful.
It is beautiful.
Kind of expensive if you go buy it.
Yeah, kind of expensive. Oh, you're thinking of pink muley grass, which is a perennial in Oklahoma. It's gorgeous.
Yeah.
I have pink muley grass. Yeah, it's kind of expensive, but it's coming down in price as it gets more popular here.
Yeah, you get like 3 leaves for $20 or something like
that.
But it grows.
It does. It takes it a while because it's a perennial.
Yeah.
So purple fountain grass, on the other hand, is an annual. But you can grow Virginia switchgrass, which is a tall, all different sizes, and it's a beautiful native grass.
Back when I was a kid, people grew Johnson grass, but not because they wanted to.
No, I have to fight Johnson grass all the time. It's kind of like that bamboo we were talking about
you
earlier.
You don't pull that out with bare hands, or you just get sliced.
Sliced right on your hand, yeah.
Right?
Sharp.
How about cattails?
Cattails, people don't grow much anymore either.
Mm-mm. I think they're so pretty.
They are pretty.
And
they take a little water.
Well, it takes a little water, you said?
Yeah, quite a bit. Actually.
Well, they're usually grown around like ponds and
right.
stuff like that.
Right.
And they can grow tall. And
but Mexican feathergrass, that's real short. It's only about 12 inches high, and it blows in the wind, and it has those gorgeous plumes. It's great in Oklahoma. It's native to Texas and Mexico.
So what are some of the things that, like, if you want flowers?
If you want flowers, you can do impatiens in the shade. Those are very popular. And there's some new ones that have come out recently. I listened to a talk yesterday, and I was kind of impressed at some of the new varieties. And then also there's, of course, begonias in the summer, because impatiens are early. And then you do begonias in the summertime, unless you have a really good watering system. Those are classic.
You know, my houses have all faced north.
Oh, that's hard.
So I'm very familiar with impatiens and begonias because that's about the only thing. Well, and hydrangeas grow on the north side.
Right. Hydrangeas do really well.
And they're beautiful.
And there's a huge variety of hydrangeas to choose from now, from the ones that have pointed blooms, the paniculatas. Quickfire is a good one. And then there's also the native arborescence, which has a big round white bloom or pink. It fades to pink on some varieties.
Depending on your soil, right?
No, you're thinking of the macrophyllas, and the macrophyllas change blue or pink depending on your soil. The ones I was talking about, they start out white, so it's a different type. And a little easier to grow than macrophyllas and don't take as much water. So that's another idea.
So tell us the easy one to grow again.
The easy one to grow in the paniculatas is Quickfire. The easy one to grow in the arborescence, that's the native and attracts pollinators, is called Annabelle.
Okay, so Annabelle, when it comes to the hydrangeas, if you want pollinators, let's talk about pollinators.
Okay. Well, pollinators, we talked about this a little bit ago, that they are kind of on the decline. The honeybee got a lot of attention because we all love honey, and but all pollinators are on decline. And if you don't like bugs in your garden, that's kind of sad because you like birds, right?
We like birds?
We love birds, right? So if we love birds, then we've got to love bugs, too, because baby birds eat a lot of bugs. And I think I went to a talk by a famous entomologist named Doug Tellamy, And that changed my whole view. I mean, I embraced bugs because I had to, because I'm pretty organic. But his ideas and how he explained about native plants and how bugs and native plants develop together through the eons, it really changed my mind because of birds. Birds are a huge part of that. We've got a huge bird decline, too, in the United States.
So we need bugs.
We need
bugs. Do you know, we planted dill. So we got the beautiful caterpillars.
Yeah, the black swallowtail caterpillars.
Which are, they're just gorgeous because they've got, black swallowtail doesn't describe how they look, though, because they're vivid.
They're
green
beautiful.
And
yellow.
Mm-hmm. And it was so funny. Last summer, my Jim picked one off. One of them had gotten into, we don't mind them being in the dill. Because we don't use that much dill.
I plant it just for them,
but
actually.
We kind of mind them getting into our parsley.
Your parsley, your dill. Yeah, they get into all of that.
They got into the
fennel.
The parsley. Mm-hmm. And Jim plucked it off and squished it. And our 4-year-old grandson looked at him and he came and running to me and said, Papa broke the law of God.
Oh, wow.
And I said, what do you mean he broke the law of God? Because Papa's not going to break any law. And he goes, he killed a caterpillar. So that's the last caterpillar that's going to get squished, particularly in front of a grandchild.
Yeah, you might next time just move it over. You can say, here, we're going to move it over to the dill again or to fennel. It loves fennel. And bronze fennel is a beautiful decorative plant. It does spread through seed, but those caterpillars love it because black swallowtail is our state butterfly. And it's really hard to raise enough black swallowtails because the red wasps love them.
Oh, is that why I have red wasp in my backyard?
Part of it.
Oh, man. There's all these trade-offs.
Yes,
Dee.
There's always trade-offs. There isn't there, though?
Oh, my goodness. Life. Well, we are talking to Dee Nash and having a great time doing it. We're talking about color in your yard and things that you can do to attract more color by having butterflies in your yard. We're going to talk about monarch butterflies when we return with more on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. You are listening to Becky Ivins, broker of Movers Real Estate Company, license number 47388. And I'm here with Dee Nash.
Hey.
Dee's with Dee. I mean, no company there. She's a company of her in and of herself. Easy for me to say, Dee.
Yeah, it's hard sometimes.
Yeah. Right.
I don't even know where.
Dee, you've got followers on Instagram.
I do, and I'm trying to make it to 10,000 followers so that I can link to things all over the web and help people even more. So
okay.
That's what I'm working toward.
How do they find you on Instagram?
I am Red Dirt Ramblings on Instagram, or if you just search my name on Google, it'll come right up. And that's also the name of my blog. And so you can find
Red
my
Dirt
blog.
Ramblings.
Red Dirt Ramblings, because I'm a red dirt girl.
There you go. Yeah, in Oklahoma, you almost have to be a red dirt girl, don't you?
You do. You have red dirt on your clothes most of the time.
Right, right. You're out at the Home and Garden Show this weekend.
I am. I'm out. I'm doing 6 talks total. Did 2 yesterday, have 4 more. I'm at 12 and 3 today and tomorrow. And I'm in the Centennial Building at the workshop spot. That's where we're talking.
Workshop spot in the Centennial Building. The new Bennett Center also is part.
Right. They have over 350 exhibitors this year. And so there are some in the Bennett Building, and there are also some in the Centennial Building. And then all the speakers are in the Centennial Building.
Okay. I've still got 4 tickets if somebody wants to call and just get free tickets to this show. I mean, you can go buy them if you want to. They cost $12 a piece. But
you can. If you use my code, REDDIRT, all one word, with 2 Ds, then you get $3 off. So
Okay. If
they can, if they're going to buy online, that's a good way to get them, too.
Yeah. And Deb can meet you out there and hand you the tickets before you walk in the door. I've got 4 of them if somebody wants to give us a call at 840-1000. 840-1000 is the listener line number. Monarch Butterflies, Dee.
Monarch butterflies are a big deal, and they've gotten a lot of press, just like the honeybee. But they're a big deal in Oklahoma for a couple of reasons. We are on the migratory pathway for the monarchs, and that's very exciting. And it's especially exciting in Oklahoma and Texas. You want to know why?
Well, tell me why. I think I know
so
why.
It's so exciting. We create the super generation of the monarchs, which until the citizen scientists in Oklahoma and Texas started keeping track of butterflies and tagging them for Journey North and taking pictures. JourneyNorth.org is a great way to see the migratory pathway in real time. Until that started happening, they didn't even know there was a super generation. And a super generation are the ones, they're the butterflies that have the great big wings, the wings that can fly all the way to Mexico. And it's very exciting. I probably, when you were a girl, I know when I was a girl, we saw monarchs every fall, and they just came through in droves, right?
Right.
And then they quit. You didn't hardly see them at all, right?
You don't see monarch butterflies much.
Not like you used to. Luckily, the last 2 years, we've had an increase in population. And I really credit that to everybody planting milkweed. That's the best thing you can do for monarch butterflies. I raise them at home, but I don't suggest everyone do that because it's a time-consuming and it's a real commitment.
Yeah, for sure.
It is.
Yeah, and who wants milkweed in their front yard, right?
Well, not in their front yard, but you could sure put it in your backyard. And honestly, the tropical milkweed and the pink swamp milkweed and the one Eselepis viridis, which is green milkweed, they're all very beautiful. You just want to mix them in with your garden. And you want more than one stand of milkweed because that's how the butterflies see. They see your property from the sky and they go, I'm going to go lay eggs there.
Huh.
Pretty cool.
Okay, so then you're going to have caterpillars on your milkweed, right?
Right. You want caterpillars on that milkweed.
Okay.
And they will, you know, hopefully get to the chrysalis stage, and then they will take off, and they might be one of the super generation, or they might be one that's still going to lay eggs on the way.
So if you've got a fairly decent-sized yard.
Right.
I mean, a postage stamp yard's not somewhere that's going to help you out a whole lot, probably.
No, probably not.
Because those are not tiny little plants, milkweed plants.
No, they're pretty big. The perennial milkweeds are pretty big, depending upon which variety you get. We have several native varieties in Oklahoma. But you know what? The tropical milkweed does get tall, but it's a very pretty plant. And there's been some controversy about tropical milkweed down in southern Texas, but it doesn't overwinter here. So you can plant it here with no problem. And the yellow one that's called Silky Gold is beautiful. Just beautiful yellow blooms.
Huh. Okay. Well, I'm going to have to get to be your buddy.
I would
Dean
love
Ash.
That.
That would be awesome.
I would love that.
We're talking about the different things that we can do in our yard. What's more of an instant thing that we can do, particularly backyards? Curb appeal is one thing, but you could have a beautiful front yard, and I see this a lot.
I bet you do.
Really pretty front yard, side yard, if you're on a corner. And then you go to the backyard, and there's just a whole lot of dog poo back there.
Oh, that's disappointing, yeah. And Bermuda grass, right? You see Bermuda grass.
And Bermuda
poo.
Is hardy, and that's okay.
Yeah, it's fine. Bermuda's fine. It makes a good carpet. We just don't need to have a whole carpet in our backyards. And one of the fastest things you could do is plant large containers with a mix of plants and make it a beautiful space and also have places to sit. Because that's your oasis in the backyard.
Right.
You deserve that. You work hard all day.
Well, you don't want to just look out to this just blank yard.
No, you don't. You want it to be beautiful, and you want to be able to go out there and have a glass of wine or a cup of hot tea and enjoy yourself.
Right.
Right?
I do.
I do, too.
I love my backyard. That's my happy place. But so many times I sell homes, and they're just blank in the backyard, even if they don't have dogs. They don't do anything in their backyard. If you know you're going to sell your house in 2 years,
yes,
then this year, like pretty soon, because it's already middle of January, so pretty soon you need to be bringing in some things to plant in your backyard.
Right. In fact, like what I would suggest...
compost and dirt and
stuff. Yeah, you need to do all that, and I would pay a nice contractor, and there are plenty of them at the Home and Garden Show this weekend, but... if you are looking out your window, you want a beautiful focal point to look at. That could be a container. It could be a beautiful grass. You can make yourself a small perennial bed back there. But you want a focal point to look out those windows, right, Becky?
Yes, definitely. Definitely. And when you walk out the back door, you don't want it to be just be barren. And so many times our yards are very short in the back.
Yes, they are.
Like you may only have, you may be 15 feet from the fence, 20 feet from the fence, and it feels like it's 5 feet, the back of your house from the fence.
And it's usually a stockade fence. So it's
yes.
a big old
yes.
horizontal space that's plain. So plant something up against it. Make it beautiful.
Yeah, I planted yuccas up against mine because I have like 6 inches of dirt before the concrete starts at the pool.
Right.
And the yuccas are doing real well there. And then some ornamental grasses, kind of intermittent between mm-hmm. the yucca
Because
plants.
The yuccas are kind of an exclamation point, and your grasses add movement. So
they
that's
do.
Really
I love that.
Good.
I have a friend who's an excellent gardener. Dr. Robin, I appreciate you. Because she just loves gardening and
that's
does
awesome.
A great, you would think that she lived on 5 acres, as many vegetables as she gets from her garden and as many mounds of flowers and stuff that she has.
Yeah, you can intensively plant and you don't need that much space.
Well, we want to congratulate Martha, who was our second winner of our tickets today. And I want to remind everyone that today you can go hear Dee Nash at the Home and Garden Show, at the fairgrounds, and in the workshop.
In the workshop spot.
Spot in the Centennial Building. This is a great show to go to, by the way. There's so many things. I met an Jerry from Hahn Appliance, and I have developed a relationship with him and got great deals.
Well, I'm going to call him because I need a new range. So
tell him that Becky sent you, and he's so knowledgeable. So you're going to love that.
I will.
And he's at the Reno location, by the way. We appreciate your being here. Go to Instagram and follow Red Dirt Ramblings so that we can get to the 10,000 mark on followers, and go out to the Home and Garden Show and see all the vendors. They're mostly local vendors out there, and they make a living by doing business with you. So please go out to the fairgrounds. We'll see you here next week with more Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000 KTOK.